Let's open our Bibles to the book of Jonah. Yes, we're still there in the book of Jonah. And we're going to go to chapter 4 and read verses 5 through 8. Jonah chapter 4, verses 5 through 8. So if you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Wonderful. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. Jonah 4, verses 5 through 8 says this. Jonah went out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a vine and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head, to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the vine. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm, which chewed the vine so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, "It would be better for me to die than to live." I'm going to keep on reading actually through the remainder of the chapter. But God said to Jonah, "Do you have a right to be angry about the vine?" "I do," he said. "I am angry enough to die." But the Lord said, "You have been concerned about this vine, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight, and it died overnight. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about that great city?" Let's go to God in prayer. Lord God, my prayer to you this morning is this, that what I say is what you want me to say. My prayer is this, Lord, that all of our hearts will be open to that truth about what we learned from this book of Jonah here this morning. Lord, I do hide behind the cross. I do humble myself, and Father, I do decrease. It's all about your glory, Lord. It's all about what you do, your sovereignty. And Father, we give you the praise. How hearts are going to be changed here this morning. You get the glory, and we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I'm just going to warn the people over here this morning that I am going to be using the easel this morning. So, and the easel is going to be sitting right about here. And so if you want to see what I write, you may want to change places. Those of you in the back who want a better view, come on, you don't have to be like the Baptist. You can sit up front now, you know. No offense to the Baptist. Actually, I like the Baptist. Yes, we are going to be using the easel a little bit later on in the message. We're talking about Jonah. We've talked a lot about Jonah. This is, I believe, like the ninth week was spent in the book of Jonah. Jonah may have had his faults, but Jonah knew a lot about God. Because Jonah was familiar with Israel's past, he knew that God could be a God of judgment and wrath. On the other hand, chapter 4, verses 2 tells us that Jonah also knew that God could be a God who is gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in love. Today we're going to look at another attribute about God. An attribute that Jonah had to learn the hard way. And that attribute is the fact that God is in control. We would all agree that God is in control. In the Christian world, that line is rather cliche. Shortly after 9/11, many people were asking, "Where was God? Where was God?" And many people, Christians, were responding, Don't worry. God is in control. Now, let me just ask this. Is there anyone else in here besides me who has ever told somebody God is in control? It's a very simple thing to say. God is in control. Did you know that the Bible really never directly says or uses the word that he's in control? It doesn't use the word control, but it does use this other word that I really like. It uses the word sovereign. In the NIV Bible, God is called sovereign 297 times. That must mean that he's sovereign. The best Bible passages that describe God's sovereignty can be found in Isaiah chapter 46, verses 9 through 11. And I know that I have used these verses before, and I'm going to read these three verses again. Isaiah 46, 9 through 11 says this, "Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. From the east I summon a bird of prey, from a far off land a man to fulfill my purpose. What I have said, that I will bring about. And what I have planned, that I will do." In these three verses, God declares nine truths about his sovereignty. And they are this. 1, he is God. 2, there are no other gods. 3, he declares the end from the beginning. 4, his purpose will stand. 5, he will do all that he pleases. 6, his purpose is fulfilled. 7, what he says he will do. 8, what he plans he will do. And 9, both man and animals serve his purpose. I will never claim to fully comprehend God's sovereignty, but I do believe it because the Bible teaches it. This morning, I want to help us all understand just a little bit more about God's sovereignty and then how God's sovereignty applies to our friend Jonah. First, let's cover two facts we all need to know. And these are our two fill-in-the-blanks in our bulletin this morning. We need to know this. Our first fill-in-the-blank is this. Man is not sovereign. Man is not sovereign. Man is not in control. Man is not on the throne. Man is a fallen, sinful creature desperately in need of redemption. And to all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved, the Bible says. Man, when left to his natural devices, will fail. So, man is not sovereign. Our second fill in the blank. Satan is not sovereign. Satan is not in control, my friends. Satan is not on the throne. Although a lot of people might want to make you believe that he is, and I know that he can be a hindrance, and I know he can make us do stuff that we don't want to do as Christians, let me assure you, Satan is not sovereign. He and his demons are fallen beings, and they will be defeated by God and thrown into the lake of fire for eternity. And that's what Revelation chapter 20 says. If Satan was sovereign, then I guess God wouldn't be able to do that. But I am convinced, because the Bible teaches, that God is the only sovereign one here. It's certainly not Satan and his demons, and it's certainly not any of us. Now, with that in mind, let's get back to the book of Isaiah. Did you ever wonder, in Isaiah 46:10, it says this, that God makes known the end from the beginning. The King James Version says, and I like this word better, He declares the end from the beginning. Or He determines the end from the beginning. Why doesn't it say that He determines the beginning to the end? That's where I'm going to take off on this morning. And I am going to use the easel this morning and kind of like play school teacher. I did this once, and I'll do it again. I don't know how effective it was, but I certainly hope it works this morning. First, I'm going to give you an analogy. Can everybody see this? Oh, I know you people in the back are just dying to move up front, aren't you? I know you are. Richard, I can see it written all over your face. Boy, you're okay, right where you're at. Okay, I got you. I'm going to give a little analogy of, it says in the Bible that He declares the end from the beginning. Once upon a time, from the years 1984 to the year 1996, for those 12 years, I owned my own software business. I wrote software. I sold software. One of the things that you do when you're a software writer is you start off with the final product. You start off with what the final product is going to be. The final product. The final product is also going to be my desired purpose. I know in my mind as a software writer, this is what I'm going to write. This is what the program is ultimately going to end up to do. It's going to do this. So, once I have in mind, here's what the final product is going to be, and here's the purpose it's going to serve, then the first thing I do is, I'll just kind of draw a little line here, I start writing code, and I start writing more code, and I start writing more code, and I start writing more code. For any of you out there that have ever done any kind of software applications, you know one thing, you gotta write code to make this work. And so I put this together, and then I put this together, and then I put this together, and the more I write, the closer I get to my final destination of my desired purpose, which is the final product, which is my piece of software. So I write all this code, and I end up here. But I had to start here. I had to start with what the end result was going to be. Now, I have this piece of software, and I give it to you so you can use. Well, one of the things I got to do when I write my code is I have to build in some boundaries. You can only use the software between this point and that point. I make sure that you don't hit that key on the keyboard that's going to make this thing turn into the Windows blue screen of death. You might have been to that point at some point in your life with your computer. But as I'm writing the code, I make sure that you as the user using my software can't do anything out of the boundaries of what I allow you to do. You have to stay within this. You can't work out here and you can't work out here because if you do, the product's going to crash. So what I do as a software writer, I make sure that you can't get there. That no matter what keys you hit, no matter what you type, no matter what you do, you as the user are going to end up here at the desired purpose of whatever the software is designed to do. This is where you are going to end up. And again, these are boundaries that I write, that I put in for you, kind of on either side, to make sure that you stay within that limitation. I have to start out here. I have to start out here. Because if I start out down here and just start writing some code, then where's it going to end up? So I write this little routine, I write this little routine, I write this little. What good does all this do if I don't have a desired purpose in mind? That all this stuff that I'm going to prepare is going to end up as a final product as to what I want that software to do. So I'm kind of in control over this whole product right here. Now, my desire, if you're using my software, my desired purpose will happen. Trust me, it will happen. You bought my product to do a certain chore, a certain task. And when you use my product, that desired purpose will happen. Okay? That's the analogy. Now, remember this. The next sheet is going to look very similar. So, that is a worldly example. And another worldly example would be for you men and women who built stuff. You know, you get a bunch of lumber and hammers and nails, and you don't start building something without, what am I going to build? You just don't take lumber, start hammering it together, and who knows what you end up with. You start with a desired purpose. Okay, that's the analogy. Now, let's put it in the terms of God's sovereignty. Now we're going to have to spiritualize this thing. I'm going to kind of grab this piece of paper so I know what I'm doing here. Okay. Don't want to lose that sheet. Okay. Now let's talk about God. It's His creation, so He's sovereign over everything, right? It's not our creation, is it? I didn't make the trees and the plants and the bushes and the grass and the air and the world and the planets and all. It's His creation, so He's sovereign, so He gets to make all the choices here. But God is going to start off with pretty much the same thing, a desired purpose. Whatever that desired purpose is, I don't know. I don't know what that desired purpose in here is. That desired purpose may be what we read at the end of the book of Revelation, how the whole world is going to end. That is a desired purpose for sure. The desired purpose might be just the way my life or your life might end up, and which will end up in His desired purpose. So it could be on a global scale, could be everybody. It could be just individually, you or me. Or it could be just a certain event in our life. For instance, Jonah was a desired purpose. It wasn't the end of Jonah's life by any means, but it was God's desired purpose for Jonah and Nineveh. And that'll be on the next sheet when we get there. So I don't know what that desired purpose is. But there is a line that goes down here, and God doesn't write code, so to speak, as I do when I write software, but He orchestrates all this. He orchestrates everything that's going to happen to achieve His desired purpose in my life and in your life. One of the things that He does is this. Whatever that desired purpose may be, He's going to put boundaries on it. Just like I had to put boundaries on my software to make sure that you don't hit the wrong keys. He puts boundaries on us too, that we cannot act outside of what's going to serve His desired purpose. Let me just add this right now. This is going to happen. This will happen. Trust me, it will happen. If you don't believe me, read the book of Revelation. It will happen. It's going to happen. But again, there are many desired purposes of His in each one of our individual lives or as us as a group. What are we allowed to do within His desired purpose? We can do anything we want from here to here. We can walk, it's like walking down a road. God's saying, you can walk anywhere on that road that you want. but you can't walk outside the road. You are going to stay on the road. And no matter what you do, here or here or here, eventually you are going to end up here at the desired purpose, just like our friend Jonah did. I put the center line down here because, let's see if you remember this from math class, the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. Very good, it's a straight line. Jesus, or God would say this, okay, Mike, here you are now, and this is where my desired purpose for you. Now, you can get there from here to here and do it my way and do it straight, or you can be all over the table going whichever way you want, whichever path you desire to take. But I assure you one thing, Mike, you will end up here because it's my desired purpose. It is going to happen. It is going to happen. Now, I don't know how all this works. We serve a sovereign God. And now how all this works means that I need to try to get into the mind of God Himself. Sorry, folks, I can't go there. Because His ways are not our ways. And His thoughts are not our thoughts. How all this works, I haven't a clue. I can assure you this, that if this is Mike, and this is what he wants Mike to do, guess where Mike is going to end up? Right there. He's going to end up there. I've given you a worldly example of writing software. I've given you a godly example of how he kind of does things in our lives. And now, let's talk about our friend Jonah. Jonah. There are three things that I'm going to put up here. One, two, and three. I'm already going to fill in this blank. Jonah preaches. Number two, Nineveh repents. Trust me, if this doesn't happen, this doesn't happen. Or at least unless somebody does this, this will never happen. Nineveh, I'm going to leave the number one. Number one is our exciting conclusion to this morning's message. And I'll get to there here in a second. This is God's purpose. This will happen. This will happen. He's going to make sure this happens. Oh, and by the way, he's going to make sure that this guy does it. We've been spending 2 months on Jonah. Now, here we have the purpose. We know this, that to get there, there's an easy way, Jonah. You can get there the straight way, the straight and narrow. You can go from here to there. But I think our friend Jonah kind of bounces all over the radar, don't you think? Remember, God puts in boundaries. Jonah, you can't go any further than this. And have you ever heard the phrase, you're pushing the envelope? Jonah pushes the envelope. He's pushing the boundaries over here and over here. Let's kind of look at Jonah. I kind of have his journey outlined on my little map here. Okay, starts off at the beginning. The first thing that happens is Jonah gets the call, right? He gets a call. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. So he gets a call from God. I don't know exactly how calls happened back then. You know, he certainly didn't have cell phones. But I do know that somehow God put it in Jonah's mind and in his heart, you need to go to Nineveh and you need to preach. Jonah gets the call. Jonah heads to the boundaries. Sorry, Lord, out here beyond the boundaries is a place called Tarshish. That's where I'm headed. Jonah immediately starts going out to the fringe area. There's an easy way to get there, Jonah. You could go straight, but no, Jonah wants to push the envelope. He wants to go out here somewhere. But Jonah serves a sovereign God. And that sovereign God says this, Jonah, you're going to end up here. You're going to end up here. Now, you can make this difficult for me, Jonah, or you can make it easy on yourself. What's your choice? Well, Jonah wants to do things the difficult way. None of us in here are like that, are we? All of you who were shaking your head, that's not me. You need to repent after the service is over, all right? So here we are at Tarshish, or going to Tarshish. So God says, you know what, Jonah? I need to get you back on the straight and narrow. You need to get here. So God sends a storm. Was the storm part of God's sovereignty? I mean, that storm kind of came out of nowhere, didn't it? So we're just kind of going to kind of put a GS there. That's God's sovereignty. GS. So he puts a storm in Jonah's path saying, you know, I'm going to bring you back to the straight and narrow. And then the storm causes the guys on the boat to cast some lots because they're really upset about what's happening here. It's got to be somebody's fault. So they cast lots. Who did the lot fall upon? Jonah. Hey, would you say that might be part of GS, God's sovereignty, that the lots fell on Jonah? So here's God calling him. Jonah wants to be out here. God sends a storm. The guys cast lots. It falls on Jonah. And Jonah finally, I think he's back here right now when he says, you know what? I'm guilty. I'm guilty. You know what, guys? I'm guilty. But then Jonah is not satisfied with being on the straight and narrow. Jonah says, I'm guilty. Throw me into the ocean. I want to die. So he wasn't satisfied with this boundary. He figured he would test out the other side. I'm going to come over here. He wants to die. He wants to die. Here's Jonah. He's now over here. Well, if I can't escape, why don't I just die and get it over with? Because this is not going to happen, God. You understand? This is not going to happen. Now, of course, none of us would ever do that, right? So here's Jonah. He wants to die. Well, you know, the oceans, the raging storm kind of let up at this point in time. But God said, you know what? You need to be back here, Jonah. So he sends the sea stops raging. The sea stops, which is a good thing. Gee, how did the sea stop raging? Hey, maybe it was the same force that caused it to rage that caused it not to rage. We'll put a GS there for God's sovereignty. So the sea stops raging, and God decides, you know what I'm going to do? I am going to send a great fish. Where did the great fish come from? God's sovereignty. GS. God's sovereignty. The great fish. So here's Jonah. He now gets swallowed by the great fish, and he finds himself inside the fish. You know what? When you're inside a fish, you are on the straight and narrow. Inside the fish. Now, first of all, great fish comes along, which that in itself is God's sovereignty. Jonah is inside the fish now. He's staying alive for 3 days and three nights. How does a person stay alive inside a great fish for 3 days and three nights? Easy. God's sovereignty. That's how it happens. God was going to make sure that he was going to stay alive inside this great fish. So here's our friend Jonah. He bounced off this side. He didn't get his way, so God kind of brought him here. And then he went inside, so God kind of brought him off here. And the sea and the great fish, and now he's inside the fish. He kind of even makes a little confession inside there and says, okay, I'm going to do this the right way. And here, this is 3 days and three nights later, we find that, I hate to write this, but he gets thrown up. Jonah gets thrown up onto dry land. Now, you're inside a fish for 3 days and three nights. You get thrown up onto dry land. Gee, how does that happen? I believe that's part of God's sovereignty. Okay, God's sovereignty. I don't know what that great fish was. Some people think it was a whale. Whatever it was, he gets thrown up. And of course, we know that this is 3 days and three nights later that that happens. Jonah, I think at this time, finally gets it. I think he finally gets it. And right here, we see that Jonah, beginning of chapter 4, Jonah goes, excuse me, chapter 3, he goes to Nineveh. Do you think maybe Jonah just got a little tired of dealing with a God who is the God of the universe and is going to have his purpose done? He got the call. I don't know how many days earlier he could have been here had he just walked the straight and narrow. But he decided to go over here and over here, and then God kind of brings him back. And then he says, I want to die, and this happens, and this happens. God kind of brings him back, and this happens. And then Jonah gets to Nineveh, and Jonah preaches the message that God gives him. Now, Jonah didn't have a message, so God gave him the message. So there's another part of God's sovereignty right there. He preaches the message. Nineveh repents. There's a blessing right there. There's God's sovereignty right there. But I still left number one open, and I did that on purpose. We've come 8 weeks, folks, and that's almost the conclusion of what we've been studying. I know it doesn't look pretty, but who's in charge? God is in charge. The book of Jonah is not a book about the antics of a spoiled brat, a prophet. Although we can learn from all that stuff that he did, can't we? We spend 8 weeks kind of here learning all that other stuff about Jonah, and it might have hit home for some of us. But the book of Jonah, the lesson that we're supposed to learn, is not about Jonah. The book of Jonah is not about the great revival that happens at Nineveh, although it's the greatest revival recorded in the Bible. Again, we could probably assume that hundreds of thousands of people, their hearts were turned because this spoiled brat prophet preached in this city, and the people repented. But even that is not what the book of Jonah is about. The book of Jonah is about, number one, and we miss it. We miss it in this book. We miss it in the other books. The book of Jonah is about the glory of God. I sat down all week trying to figure out this message. How does this thing end, Lord? I got it all the way up to here, and it doesn't seem like that's the conclusion. And he said, because that's not the conclusion. You missed the biggest point, Mike. And luckily, I was listening to a CD yesterday about God's sovereignty, and the preacher said this: God's sovereignty is all about the glory of God. The glory of God. That he can take us, or Jonah, and he can take us wherever. But rest assured, Beech Grove, I don't know what this is in your life. I sometimes know what it is in my life. But the thing about God's purpose is this: sometimes we don't know it, and sometimes we don't understand it until, if this is time going this way, until we're up here somewhere, a day later, a week later, a month later, a year later, when we find out, so that's why he did what he did. When we get the call, or that whatever it is that God wants us to do, most of the time we have no clue what this is. And my question is this, are we okay with that? Are we okay with saying, I feel like God wants me to do this? Are we okay with not knowing what this is going to be? And it ultimately will be this. God gets the glory. God wants to be glorified in His sovereignty, in His mercy, in His wrath, and in His compassion. He wants to be glorified in His grace, and in His love, and in His justice, and in His righteousness, and in His power, and in His will, and in His patience, and in His purpose, and in His plans. And He wants to be glorified in His creation, which we are a part of. I know I told you the story before, and I'm going to give you the 30-second version of it. God tells me to buy my son a car. Now, wait a second, God. He doesn't deserve a car. He's not going to get a car. And you might say, well, how did you know that? Well, I think that's the next sermon series, understanding God's will and knowing what God's will is. I just knew that I needed to buy my son a car because his old car was, it was a piece of junk. It was. But he told me to buy him a car when I was in the market for my own car. So, okay, I might have done some of this. Ended up buying him a car. And about 6 months later, a year later, whatever it was, he's in a very terrible accident. The airbag saved him. His old car didn't have an airbag. Gail figured it out. I no sooner told her the story when he called me and I said, Gail, our son was in an accident, but he hey, the airbag saved him. The first thing out of her mouth was, that's why God told you to buy him a car. Are we okay with this, with never knowing this, but certainly knowing that whatever He's calling us to do, whatever this journey might be, that it will ultimately bring glory to Him? Are we going to be okay with that? Is it possible for us to give God the glory in His purpose, whatever that purpose may be? Do we give God the glory regardless of what this journey is? And this journey might be one of utter joy and blessings, financially, health-wise, it might be all of that. Or this journey might be hardships and possibly even death of a loved one. Are we okay with that? Are we okay with the fact that whatever this line is going to be, whatever this purpose is, that we ultimately give God the glory for that? We will never submit to God's authority until we can rest in His sovereignty. It's a word that we need to remember, that God has that attribute. I'm just going to leave with this one little story this morning, and it has to do with somebody in this congregation. And this person came up to me several weeks ago and said that there were some health issues. And I said, are you okay? And this person said, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray that everything comes out all right. But if not, if it comes out all right, then praise the Lord. And if it doesn't, praise the Lord. When we people can get to that point where we're okay with this. Because we can say, like this gentleman told me, whatever, God gets the glory. Praise Him. Whatever the results of those tests are, God gets the glory. That is the sign of a mature Christian. That's when we know that we understand the sovereignty of God. That's when we know that we rest very comfortably in His hands. We talked about that in John chapter 10, verses 28 and 29. It says this, and I'm going to go to there real quick. It says this, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hands. My Father who gives them to me is greater than me, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hands. Are you okay with this, regardless of what this is? I know one person in here that is. And praise the Lord, those reports came back in a very positive way. Or are you going to push the envelope? God's sovereignty, no matter what His purpose, no matter what His plan, His purpose will stand. What He plans, He will do. And it's all going to come out for the good of those who love the Lord. Isn't that Romans 8, 28? All things work out for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. All things work out for the good of those, because in the end, God ultimately gets the glory. Knowing a lot about Jonah was helpful. We learned that sometimes he's a lot like us, or maybe we're a lot like him. Nineveh repenting. Well, praise the Lord. Mary was here with us last week. Praise the Lord. We all know what happened last week. It was a great moment in the life of Beech Grove last week. But even as great of a moment that was, that Mary repents, what ultimately happens? God gets the glory. And that's what we need to remember. Let's go to God in prayer.